Welcome back. You're watching Hope at Home. In a few moments, Pastor Gary Blanchard will open the Word of God and will help us understand the three challenges that people face today. As you notice, we talk a lot about the Bible in this channel. If you want to understand it more, go to hopebiblestudy.org. The Word of God is ready with promises and a real encounter with God. If only you open it and understand it. And we can help you with that. You're not alone. hopebiblestudy.org. But for now, Pastor Gary Blanchard, help us understand the three challenges people face today.
Hello, everyone. I'm Pastor Gary Blanchard. What an honor to be here on Hope Channel, a channel that around the world shares the hope of Jesus. So I hope in the next few moments I can give you some hope in these twisted and crazy times with the pandemic, with social justice concerns around the world. I hope that God can speak to you through some words today from His Word to bring you hope in these days when many people are feeling hopeless. I want to begin with a word of prayer because we want to invite Jesus and His Spirit to be with us as we open up His Word together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for being with us. We thank You that You are the God of hope, that You made salvation possible for all through Jesus Christ. And we thank You, Lord, that the Bible tells us that You are still on the throne and You are in control. And we thank You for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to speak to you from the Word of God. I love a story I heard many years ago that I've never forgotten. It's a story about a chief that was looking for a strong husband for his daughter. And so he gathered all of his warriors together, and he decided he would have a contest to find out who was worthy to marry his daughter and be the future chief. He created this large pool. Inside this pool, he put all kinds of dangerous water creatures. There were electric eels, and there were crocodiles, and there were sharks, and you name it, very dangerous. And then he stood up and he said, "Whoever will swim across this pool to the other side will earn my daughter's hand in marriage and be the future chief." Before he could finish speaking, a brave was in the water swimming across that pool, dodging the electric eels and the sharks and the crocodiles, getting to the other side as fast as he could. Finally, he came out to the other side and he stood up on the other side. His face was completely white. He's breathing heavily. The chief was so excited, he grabbed the man by the arm and threw it up. He said, "Look, the future husband of my daughter and the future chief." And then he said to all the young man, "What do you want to say to all the braves that you will one day be the leader of soon?" The man looked at all of the braves and said, "I just want to know who pushed me in." Maybe right now you find yourself swimming around in a world full of violence, injustice, racism, abuse, and all kinds of shades of evil. And maybe right now, even though that story is funny, it's not funny for you right now because you find yourself in this water wondering to yourself, "Who pushed me in here? Why am I here in this time on this planet? Who pushed me in?" Maybe you're wondering the same thing as you see all the evil around you today. But I have good news for you, my brother and my sister, young man, young woman, children. Listen to me very carefully. I have hope for you from the Word of God. Jesus knows how you feel, because Jesus was also struggled under the laceration of violence and wickedness and injustice and abuse. Jesus experienced all these things himself. So Jesus knows how you feel. That's good news right now. No matter what you might be going through in your life, Jesus knows how you feel. Now, I know we've all had friends like this. They put their arm around you and they say, "We know how you feel." But you know in your heart they really don't, because they never experienced it. But I got to say to you right now, you have a friend in Jesus who knows how you feel. In this world, you may be wondering, "God, why am I here? Why are all these things happening? Pandemics and violence and injustice and racism and all these things happening around us. Why am I here? Who pushed me in?" But we serve a God that asked the same question on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus asks questions too. Jesus knows how you feel. And I want to say to you right now, this same Jesus who's your best friend, no matter what you're going through in this life, this same Jesus has three words of challenge for you. These are challenging words for you, but these are challenging words that can bring you hope. Here they are, three challenging statements. The first one Jesus is saying to you today is, no matter what's going around you today, no matter what kind of things you're experiencing, get warmer, not colder. Maybe you could say after me, "I will get warmer, not colder." Very interesting, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said that this world would become incredibly wicked in the last days. And the hearts of many, he said, will grow what? Cold. But then he goes on to say, but those who endure to the end shall be saved. You know what he's basically saying? He's saying to the church right now, even though this world gets colder, you need to get warmer all the way to the end of time. Endure, may your love endure to the very end of time. My goodness, what an incredible message. What a challenging message that God is calling you, my brother, my sister, to grow warmer, not colder. Although this world is getting more and more racist, more and more unjust, and there's more and more violence and cruelty and lawlessness happening in our world today, God says, you don't have to go that direction. You can go up against the current by my power and get warmer, not colder in these last days. Didn't Jesus say, and they shall know you are my disciples by your love? One of the signature statements that a Christian has, a person has that they're a follower of Jesus, is that they're getting warmer, not colder. They're enduring in their love to the very end. You might be saying, Pastor Gary, you don't understand the kind of stuff I've gone through, and I don't. But I will tell you this, there is power in prayer. The Bible says God has poured his Spirit into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. In other words, when we ask the Lord to fill us with the fruits of the Spirit, he will actually do that, and he will make our hearts warmer. But there's something else you can do. Even though you may not feel it, you can act compassionately toward others. Did you hear what I said? Even though you might be overcome by fear and anger and upsetness in your life, you can act in love toward others as you pray for the Holy Spirit. There's something amazing happens that when we act and do the right thing, even when sometimes our feelings are not yet in line with that, our feelings tend to follow our actions. I love the story about the man who was caught in, two men that were hiking in a blizzard. And as they were traveling along, desperately trying to get to a warm place so they could be rescued from the frigid cold, they stumble upon a man that was almost dead, frozen in the snow. The first man said, we should stop and help this man along the way. But the second man said, no way. We got to make sure that we get there. We don't want to delay or we could freeze as well. But the first man said, we're not going to leave him here. I'm going to help this man up. He's still alive. I need to help him. And so he bent over to help him up and picked him up on his shoulders. The second man says, I'm not waiting around. I'm going on ahead. I'm going to get to that warm place, that warm cabin a few miles up the road before you do. And so he took off. The man held the first man held the frozen man on his back. And as he began to walk, he noticed something, that the frozen man began to thaw out and they began to warm each other as they traveled along the way. Just before they got to the warm cabin, the second man stumbled over the first man who had left them there, frozen dead in the snow. There's an incredible story. There's an incredible principle found in this story, that as we reach out in love toward others, as we get warmer, not colder in these dark and cold times, we will actually be warmed by the compassion that we have toward others. This is one way. If you want to know in a simple way how, by prayer and by care. Prayer and by care. This is how we maintain our warmth in these very, very cold and cold times. It's very interesting, the book of Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John were on the way to the temple, they saw a man in the snow, you might say. They saw a lame man there. And you know what's interesting about Peter and John in Acts chapter 3? They didn't express just sympathy for the man. They didn't say, oh, we're so sorry. Or they didn't say, well, we're on our way to the temple, and when we get there, we'll pray for you. No. They went actually down, and in the name of Jesus, reached down the right hand, that's the hand of grace and the hand of power. They used the influence that they had, the health that they had, and they reached down and they helped the man up. That's a great testimony of how we can stay warm in these last days. Prayer and care is how we stay warm. We get warmer, not colder in the last days. This is a challenge from Jesus for every single one of us. Get warmer, not colder. The second thing Jesus challenges us is this. Get angry, but not evil. Did you say that for me? Get angry. I will get angry, but not evil. You know, a lot of people think today that it's wrong to get angry, and that's not true. Anger is actually a quality or a characteristic or emotion that God himself has. When we see evil, when we see violence and racism and injustice and abuse and lawlessness, we should get angry. That just means that we're still alive. We haven't become jaded and numbed by this earth, that we're still warm and we haven't gotten cold. It's good to get angry. In fact, the Bible actually says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, it says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Do not give the devil a foothold. So we're being told in the Bible that we need to get angry. We have examples of this in the Bible where Jesus got angry. Remember in the temple when he saw the money changers there? They were stealing from the people. They were actually making the sacrificial, the sacrifices there in the temple that people had to purchase in order to do the sacrifices. They were actually making these sacrifices exorbitantly expensive, and they were actually raking in money. It was greed that was going on there. And Jesus was very angry, and his eyes flashed that anger, that righteous indignation that he had. And the Bible says he flipped over the tables of the money changers. He was angry, but he didn't destroy. He didn't burn down their temple. He didn't use the rope to harm somebody violently. He was angry, but he did not sin. And God is saying the same thing to us today. Be angry, not evil. In other words, use your anger to point out the evil that's happening in the world today, just like Jesus did. When he flipped over the coin, the tables of the money changers, and the money went everywhere, he was identifying the God that these people had lifted up above the God of heaven, the God of greed. He pointed out to the sin, very simply, that was causing them to rob the people of God there in the temple. He identified the sin. He got angry. And it's okay for you to get angry too, but Jesus did not use his anger for evil. Do not give the devil a foothold, the Bible says. Young people, I want to challenge you today, get angry and act in a positive, righteous way to deal with situations that you see in the world today. I challenge people today around the world to get together in small groups, call them A-teams or whatever you want to call them, and take some time to pray that God would make you warmer, not colder. And pray that God would help you to channel your anger in a positive way that actually makes a difference and make a change. So here's what I want to challenge you to do. Three things. Pray. Plan. And implement. In other words, act. Don't just be sympathetic. Don't just say we're going to pray. These are important things. Don't misunderstand me. We must pray and we must be sympathetic, but we must act as well. Sometimes we need to act in ways that respond to things that are happening right directly in front of us. As Peter and John were going to the temple, they didn't really have a plan. They just saw a need. You may see a need to stand up for somebody who's being treated unjustly or is being treated with racism. Or maybe you have a chance to defend somebody who's close to being a victim of violence or abuse. Do what God sets before you. Act. Maybe form a team. Pray. Plan. And implement your plan. But we must get angry, but we must not be evil. This is the message that Jesus gives us from the Word of God that's so important. What an incredible God we serve. God's not up there telling you to do this and that without understanding how you feel. No, no, no. Jesus knows. We have a high priest in the heavenly sanctuary that sympathizes with our weaknesses. But more than sympathy, he empathizes because he's been one of us. He's been there. He was thrown in there. And he also said, "Who pushed me in?" as he looked at all the things that were happening in the world around him and was happening to him. The third thing that God is saying to you today, my friends, that's very important, is that we must get louder, not softer, in regard to the gospel of Jesus. You know, one of my favorite passages in the Bible is Revelation 14, verse 6 and 7, where the Bible says, "And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, to be proclaimed to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice." Can you say loud voice? Loud voice. Actually, the word there in Greek is megaphone, with a loud voice. "Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come." Isn't that interesting? This may come as a shock to you, or maybe it's just a shock to me. It shouldn't be. But the Bible is the most relevant book on the planet. If there was ever a time when people needed to hear that there's coming a day of judgment, it's now. We need to hear more preaching on the judgment. This is one of the most comforting messages that people need to hear. I want to say right now, there are many of you that are standing up and you're speaking out, standing up and speaking out against injustice, racism, and violence, wherever you see it. But you're getting discouraged because you see that it's eerily resilient. It keeps popping up. But you need to know today not to be discouraged, to keep moving forward with your heart filled with the love of Jesus. But you need to move forward knowing that there will come a day when God will take all those things that have been swept under the carpet, violence, racism, injustice, and abuse, all those things that people thought they got away with, they didn't, because there is coming a day of judgment. That's what the Bible says. We need to preach this message. The entire world wants justice, and the Bible says it's coming. Why aren't we preaching the judgment message? It's good news. Judgment is coming. Very soon, God will take all those things that people thought they got away with, and he will bring it out in the open, and he will deal with it. So important. You know, maybe right now as you're watching this, you're thinking to yourself, well, man, I've been guilty of those things. The judgment doesn't sound like good news for me. I know the world needs to hear that there is going to be a judgment. That nobody's getting away with anything. That's good news. But for me, I see in my own heart there's racism and bigotry and hatred and violence and abuse. I have so many regrets and things that I've done. You think to yourself and you tremble when you think about a judgment hour. But I want to give you good news. There is a cross, the cross of Jesus. Here's what you need to do. If in your heart you're feeling today like, you know what, I am so sorry about what I've done and the way I've treated other people. If you're feeling that in your heart today, I want to tell you today that you're experiencing something we call repentance. You see, repentance is not a complicated thing. We've made it really complicated. Repentance basically means you've changed your mind about something. It means you've changed your mind about sin. That's a good thing. If you're feeling repentant in your heart that, you know, there's a judgment coming and my life is not right and I don't feel right about the things that I've done, that means God is working in your heart and you're feeling repentance, a change of mind. Here's what I want to tell you to do. If you're feeling a change in your mind, I want to challenge you to go to the cross of Jesus and see Jesus there. And then upon the shoulders of Jesus, I would say, confess your sins to him. Confess your injustice, your racism, your bigotry, your hatred, your lust, whatever it is in your life. Confess it. Give it to Jesus. And I want to tell you something that's so amazing. Do you know they actually put a crown of thorns on Jesus' head? There's something symbolic about that. Do you know that after Adam and Eve sinned, thorns were a consequence of their sins? The thorns would grow up when Adam was taking care of the fields. The thorns would be afflicting him while he was there. It was a consequence of sin. You see, maybe in our own minds, we need to see ourselves putting that crown of thorns on Jesus' head. In other words, putting on him the consequences of our sins, our regrets, our condemnation, our judgment, the feelings that we have in our life because of the things that we have done. We need to put those consequences upon Jesus, confess our sins to him, and lay our consequences upon him. Do you realize that there is a judgment day coming? But in AD 31 on Calvary's Hill, Jesus took judgment for you. And that's what I'm trying to tell you today. Yes, there is a judgment coming. But if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your sins upon him, Jesus will take your judgment for you now and change your life. Make you a brand new person today. You see, right now we're living at a time where we must get warmer, not colder. We desperately need to get mad, but not evil. And we surely need to get louder, not softer, about the gospel message. The world needs to hear that there's a great judgment coming, and it's time to repent. It's time to have a change of mind. And it's time to run to the cross before it's too late. This is the everlasting gospel message that we as God's church are called to take to the world. There's never been a time where the world needed the church, and dare I say, the Seventh-day Adventist church, more than now. Brother, even if you're not a Seventh-day Adventist today, sister, if you're a Christian today, the world needs you more than ever before. Our message of the coming judgment, our message that God is calling for repentance and leading people to the cross that they might be saved and forgiven. What an incredible thing. I want to tell you a story in conclusion that has always moved my heart, and I think it speaks to this issue very clearly. Maybe you've heard of Isaac Watts. Isaac Watts wrote a wonderful song that we sing during Christmas time. It's Joy to the World. I'll spare you and not sing it. But it's a song about that we often sing during Christmas time, because we think the song is about the first coming of Jesus. But you know, the reality is, Joy to the World was written by Isaac Watts for the second coming of Jesus. In fact, he got the idea from Psalms 98. Now, I challenge you to read Psalms 98. It is a powerful verse, but I want you to, powerful Psalms. But what's really interesting is throughout the Psalms, the psalmist is saying, we need to joy God. We are so blessed. All the earth, shout out to God. Joy to God. And then at the end, it tells us why. And you check it out. The last couple verses of that psalm says that the reason the whole psalm is bringing joy to God and feeling joyful and happy and celebrating is because it says at the end, the last verse is that God will return and bring justice and equity. Think about that. Wow. There is coming a time when all wrongs will be righted, when justice will have its day, and God will make sure that all things are taken care of on that day. Does that mean we don't need to stand up and speak out today? Of course not. We must. We have a responsibility. We have a sacred responsibility as Christians to expose evil. Paul actually tells us that in the book of Ephesians, that we must expose it and speak out against it. But we can never forget the good news that even though we are behind enemy lines right now, we will always have these things, violence and justice and racism. The time will come when these things will be eradicated, and those who participate in those things will be eradicated for all eternity. But it's not too late, because we serve a God who loves the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that if whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There's a way of salvation for all of us. We need to turn to the cross. Joy to the world. So I hope you've heard a message of hope today. You've been challenged a little bit. No matter what you're going through today, know that you have a Savior that knows how you feel. And right now, he's giving you three challenges. We know what they are. He's challenged you to get warmer, not colder, angry, not evil, and louder, not softer. In other words, preach the gospel. Preach the good news. Be encouraged by it, and tell the world as well. On behalf of the General Conference, which is the headquarters for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and specifically the youth department at the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I want to say we love you, and may you be filled with joy because of our wonderful Savior. God bless you.